in the county, we have a juvenile court referee who could pick up some of the slack at times, or a criminal court referee that could pick up some of the slack at times. And ultimately, I would hope that we could even avoid the need to create additional judgeships in some counties. I don't regard this as a Multnomah County bill at all. Both of you are Lane County, and I can see in Lane and Washington and Clackamas and some of these counties with large populations, but not large enough for a juvenile court referee full time, as we have in Multnomah County. A person could very well fulfill the office of half-time juvenile court referee and half-time family law commissioner. Same person going down the same salary, and I know that the juvenile court workload that Judge Van Rysselberghe has to face in Lane County is probably more than he should have to handle all by himself. So I think this ultimately would be good in several of the larger counties in the state. It's also drafted so that groups of smaller counties could have one commissioner that kind of floats between them where the workload can justify it. So, but I'm trying to move quickly, and but I would be happy to answer any questions you may have. I think it's ultimately a good bill for the taxpayers, because it'll save them money if we can avoid creating judgeships, but I think most of all it's a good bill to save litigants money and get things disposed of quickly, which wrong people are paying the cost of that system.
Senator Hendrickson, do you have any questions?
No, I haven't had a chance. I read the amendments. I didn't have a chance to read the original
the
bill. I guess it's been
bill.
Substantially yeah. modified.
The amendments are the bill.
Yeah, the amendments are the bill.
Yeah.
Counsel.
On the House side, apparently there was some consideration about the constitutional problem with requiring somebody to go to something other than a court.
I am absolutely, totally convinced, and I think I'm evidently convinced the House Committee ultimately, or they became convinced, that that's not a problem. If it is a problem, as I pointed out, our juvenile court referee statute is unconstitutional. The criminal magistrates that we use are unconstitutional. Pro tem, you could even argue that anything, any pro tem judging is unconstitutional. I just don't believe that's the case. I went and read that constitutional provision. I just think that's a very, very narrow and I think inaccurate reading of it. Nobody's ever raised the issue in this state with regard to these other officers, and I don't think they would raise it here. It's done all the country. California has the same constitutional provision we do and has family law commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's a problem.
Okay, the commissioner exercises the powers and authority of a circuit court judge. Okay.
Yeah, apparently they would just be ruling on preliminary matters for the most part.
Preliminary matters, I would hope that they...
In dissolution cases, but they wouldn't actually try the cases themselves.
No, we're not. I suppose the way this is written, that could be done, but it would involve... I can tell you administratively it probably wouldn't in most instances, because unless they stipulated to it, because there's too much possibility of having a retrial before the circuit court later. We would use the commissioners for those things that would not likely result in an automatic retrial before a circuit judge. We might use it in support modification cases if they're fairly minimal, or more likely visitation modification. You know, somebody says that every other week isn't working and they want once a month. Those kind of things aren't likely to have to go through another layer. The people are going to be satisfied with whatever decision they get.
I guess it wasn't, that was, I thought how it would work was more preliminary kinds of matters, but apparently they would have the authority to hear cases.
Well, it says right here they can hear trials and dissolution cases.
So it says that, and that was an amendment that was put in by the House. I wouldn't argue strenuously for that, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
that could go.
Yeah, I would have some feeling about that, because right now circuit, they're not even done by district judges, they're done by circuit judges.
Circuit judge.
It's been considered an important kind of case in terms of.
Okay, Judge, thanks.
Thank you.
Is that the last thing you're here on?
That's the last thing I'm here on.
All right.
I would not intend to, if committee intends to schedule a work session, I would not intend to come for that, but I would be available.
Yeah. I think from now on, it's very likely that a lot of things will be scheduled on 1 hour notice. Okay. Well, thanks.
Paul Abrams tracks it. And,
thanks for being here. Yeah, she can keep an eye on us. Okay, Ms. Williams, come up, please.
Is the microphone on?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, because my voice does not carry very well. At the risk of talking to people on empty stomachs, which I understand is quite dangerous, I will try to make this brief. I am Helen Jane R. Williams, and I am here today because it was such short notice on behalf of the Older Women's Coalition, the American Association of University Women, the Military Wives of Oregon, the Older Women's League of Oregon, as well as individual members from the National Organization of Women and other groups. And I would call your attention to this chart that I passed out, and I gave Senator Frey the original because the colors did not print well, and that's the reason I labeled them with the number ABC. But this is, you can verify on that the other copies are the correct. And I didn't put this down, but there are eight, because I counted them afterwards. There are eight states that have programs underway, eight under A. B, there are eight states that are authorized but not operational. And under C, that are under consideration, there are eight states. And where you see two B's up by Minnesota, I really should have just put one. I hate to admit it, having been born and lived in Minnesota, but I believe that's all part of Minnesota.
Well, Michigan, yeah.
Is it?
Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, right. And we've already passed this out, so you already have that. This was passed out some time ago. If you don't have copies, I can get another one later. First of all, I'd like to say that in Lane County, Judge Hargreaves has, according to the newspapers, has put out orders that all cases involving divorce and all custody cases will be heard by an arbitrator, which would be the same thing in this language as a family law commissioner. And our main problem with this is that, number one, in the first place, you have different types of divorces in people. I think that I agree with much of what Judge Harrell said, but you are not taking into consideration that there are people who have money in this state. Not lots of money, but they've worked very hard. Maybe they over 20, 30 years, and we're having more long-term marriages breaking up. They have acquired a certain amount of property which they hope to live on. Well, it's too late when you're 50 and up to recoup your losses. If you go into the divorce court and you are hacked off with very little money. And I think you can all appreciate that, because it's only been since 1977 that the homemaker in this state even got credit for her contribution to the marriage. So I would like to make the following suggestions without going into all the complaints we have. And one is that arbitration or this bill 2090 but as far as the family law commissioner is concerned, be limited to cases involving $15,000 or less. Or you could set that amount even higher, $25,000. But if you, under the arbitration system that Judge Hargreaves is going to use, you cannot use an arbitrator if you're going to sue someone and it's a lawsuit involves more than $15,000. Now, why should a lawsuit be so much more important if you have two business partners fighting and it involves $20,000 or anything over $15,000, you must go into circuit court. Well, why are the life savings of people in a divorce, even though granted divorce is a scut work for the judges, I know that, but why should that be less important than a lawsuit? So either all lawsuits should be thrown into arbitration too, and into or with the family law commissioners, or we should have some cutoff. And when you are putting family law commissioners in and paying them the small amount of salary that they're going to get per case, you're not going to get top drawer people. You're not going to get people who are going to spend a lot of time or perhaps even have a lot of financial knowledge. A good example of this is the fact that lawyers on the East Coast have suggested that even the circuit courts have two levels, because when you have many, many assets and complex money situations, you have to have specialized judges who can quickly go through this stuff. And if you have cases that are simple and there's not too much money involved, then I think putting them into the family law commissioner or arbitrator, whatever you want to call it, is fine. And secondly, as another suggestion, I feel that all custody cases should immediately go into conciliation court for reports and studies, and these should be presented to the court. They do this in Salem, and it worked very successfully when I was working up here and some years ago. And in that way, the court gets a full picture of the entire situation. The person who does the report is subject to cross-examination, and you don't have to go through all this in the courtroom. And the third suggestion I have is that this legislature set up some kind of a system to provide for arbitration and mediation training in the law schools. And the East Coast, some of the larger law schools are now starting courses in domestic relations, which are compulsory, and they involve not only training for the attorneys and the laws of the state, but they bring in social workers, psychologists, and so on, so they get a full picture of how different divorces are treated, or what the kind of people you're dealing with. It's in a much more emotional level than most legal cases. And I think that we should train people before we turn around and start giving them cases involving more than $15,000, because law school training is based on a totally different aspect of training than when you're in arbitration. You have specialized skilled training, and it's totally different from what we receive in the law schools today.
Okay, Ms. Williams,
I'd just like to end it by saying that we would like to see, if this bill is going to go through, that a lid be put on it on some amount. Well, even if it's, say, $25,000, the cases under that be heard by the family law commissioners. Anything above that goes to the circuit court if it's a disputed case. And that because under what, say, Judge Hargreaves is doing, he has already put all cases, regardless if you're dealing with $1 million, it's going to go to some attorney who may be very unskilled, untrained, who's willing to work for, I think it was $170 a case or something.
Okay. All right.
And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Senator Hennigsen, a question?
Well, I just had a question. So you wanted to see an amendment to this bill that would limit on arbitration cases in domestic relations?
Yes, but arbitration or using family law commissioners to try the case. We're not against using them to get preliminary information, but to actually try the case and make the decision. If it's over a certain amount, I would say $25,000 limit.
Okay.
Then I feel that it should go into the circuit court, if it's a disputed case.
Any other questions, Senator?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Williams, for being
Thank you
here.
For hearing me.
Yes, indeed. I'm sorry you had to wait so long. Let's see. I think that those are the only two witnesses on House Bill 2090. And so I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2090. Now, We have two people here from Douglas County on 2651. And come on up. Let's take 2651 because we're going to have a floor session at 6:30 and no one here has had a chance to eat anything and we're in terrible streets around here. We also have...
Maybe something upon application.
We also have...
The dispute is going to be over $25,000.
See who else is from out of town.
But as a matter of right, they don't have to come out.
2257, Mr. Lillig. Is he here?
He's out in the hall.
Oh, he's here. He's here from Coos Bay.
Yeah.
So I'll put that up here in order. We have and we have on House Bill 2006. We have Kathy Bussey, who's here from Portland. And I understand that won't take very. It shouldn't take very long. And so I'm going to put. Is she still here? Okay. I'm going to. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take 2651 and then I'm going to take 2006 because it's going to be real short and then we'll go to 2257. I'm saying that for the benefit of the audience. Now as soon as I Mr. Lillig still, is he outside in the hall, did somebody say? Is he planning to go back to Coos Bay tonight? Jim, do you know?
I think he's going back from Allison.
Oh, that's not very far. He can stay at Sandrock's house down there. They can have a party. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to, and Mr. Is it Cast, K-A-S-T? Oh, that's, oh, you're right there. Now, I've got Lee Hockman and Dennis Dahlin.
Dennis isn't here.
He's not here. All right, we'll take care of you folks, and then I'll skip over to 2006, and that'll probably give me about 3 minutes to eat dinner before the floor session starts, and then I'll come back down, and we'll try to complete the agenda. So, go ahead.
Okay,
2651, Senator Wires and Senator Fryer, subcommittee, your testimony.
I'm Lee Hockman. With the Douglas County Health and Social Services Department representing the Community Mental Health Program Directors. I will promise to keep my colleague brief.
My name is Barry Cast. I'm the Mental Health Director from Benton County, and I certainly don't have as long a drive as Mr. Hockman. In deference to the time factor, we'll be very short and to the point here. We're here to submit amendments to House Bill 2651, which is on the agenda, and to support the bill itself. We have provided you with testimony submitted by Robert King. Dr. King is the director of the Community Mental Health Program in Clackamas County, and I won't take your time by reading that, but I think his remarks discuss the history of 2651 and its merits and how it has been amended to accommodate the concerns that the governor expressed in the 1981 session and the concerns of the House. You may be aware that 2651 did pass the House on a 42-7 vote. It does provide that minors of age 14 and above may seek outpatient mental health care without parental consent. It does require that wherever possible and where there are no contraindications that the parent shall be involved prior to the completion of treatment. And furthermore, it requires and permits the mental health professional to inform the parents where it is so indicated and in the best interest of the child and holds the therapist harmless. It does not require the parents to pay a fee when they have not been informed and consulted. And it asks the Mental Health Division to develop some rules to permit that to happen. We think this bill will address some significant problems. We've seen the increase in the increase in adolescent suicide, drug and alcohol problems, physical and sexual abuse. There are barriers to treatment where the parent must be informed, and we feel that this bill would solve those problems with proper safeguards. Now, I'm going to ask Mr. Hockman to discuss the amendments that we're proposing to Senate Bill 522, which has passed the Senate 25-4 and is now in House Human Resources Committee and is stuck because of the backlog in the committee. It is not being held up on the merits, as we have been told by Mr. Hamlin, the chairman.
That had a little history, you know, in the Senate. That committee members will recall Senator Hendrickson and I know Senator Fadley gave very impassioned speeches about the fact that the mental health directors could carry weapons into the homes and spirit away crazy people. Remember that, Bill?
And I think it was you, Senator Fadley, spoke to it. Yeah.
We got it sent back to the committee and cleaned up. It came back out and did pass the Senate, but okay.
It has been amended.
Is this the same bill?
This is the same.
Because
it's stuck in the House committee.
Yeah, we have the 2651, which the mental health directors have sponsored, and then Senate Bill 522 is the one that is stuck, and we would like to put those together relating to mental health.
Now, with these amendments here, these -9 amendments, do they conform to the Senate bill as it finally passed out?
Word for word.
The only problem with the amendment as it is drafted is that it guts 2651. It is not our intention to delete the existing bill that is before you, but to add this to the bill.
I understand. Senator Word.
Well, this 2651 is a new thing to me, but just looking at it, I like it. I'm sure I'll like it better after I hear more about it. But the other request of the committee, I don't know how to say this, for us to stuff it in here, because somebody has said that the committee over there doesn't mind it at all, they just are too busy to get at it.
Did you testify in the House on this bill here at 2651?
2651, yes.
You like that? Fine.
Yes.
We drafted that bill and we agreed to the amendments that were introduced in the House. It was introduced on behalf of the Oregon Association of Community Mental Health Program Directors, and we have no objection to adding this language to it.
Well, I don't have any problem with it. We don't know whether they'll concur with it. It may be there's more to it than just a logistical problem over there.
You may lose the thing in the process.
Well, we've tried to staff that to be sure if there was any concerns on 522, but no one, with the amendments, no one was upset or concerned. And with all the work we put on it and the Senate's put on it, we hate to just see it die because of the funnel. So we're asking for some.
Well, okay, we're familiar with yes, this thing here, so you don't need to spend any time on that. I understand what you're trying to accomplish with the 2651. So, you have anything else?
No,
that's good. Any questions? Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now, you know, I wonder if the House is still in session, because Representative Hugo wanted
to
testify on this. I think we'll come back to this later. I'm going to move on right now to House Bill 2006, Kathy Bussey.
Thank you for accommodating me. Kathy Bussey, Multnomah County. I submitted some very brief testimony.
I thought it was going to be brief until I saw who you brought along there.
They promised not to say anything unless I err. So, to get right to the point, if you would turn to page 2 where we've changed the language in the bill, the primary purpose of this bill is to clarify some language that was passed in the 83 session as part of several court cleanup of court unification issues. And the
did you tell me what your position was? I'm sure Senator Wires knows you, but I...
Intergovernmental Relations Director for Multnomah County.
Okay. If you said it, I'm sorry I missed it.
I think I just cited where I was from.
Go ahead.
In the lines that are being deleted, it shows that what the purpose was is to treat some surplus trust funds or surplus in the trust fund account as an overpayment when it was transferred to the state. The account was out of balance in Multnomah County. This bill treats that as an overpayment and would allow the state court administrator to turn that money back to the county as part of what was a series of compromises and some money issues in the 83 legislature. The language didn't allow, it wasn't sufficiently clear to allow the state court administrator to turn it back because there was no record on those funds. So all we did was change the language around to allow him to turn it back without records. State Land Division, it was a surplus.
Go ahead.
How do you know how much to turn back if you don't have any records?
The records are not on the surplus. The records, it was a trust account, and the account was out of balance by about $300,000. There were $300,000 more turned over than we had records to show in funds. We didn't know where those funds came from. They could have been accounting errors. They could have been abandoned funds. And so what this does is put us into a position where we can settle directly with the land board without having the state court administrator in the middle of it.
Well, if we had two more people, we might even get rid of the bill for you tonight, but we don't. Any questions? Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Representative Hill, is the House still in session?
No, we're up.
Are you coming back tonight?
No, we're done for the evening.
Thank golly.
Why do we have to?
You're either a fish in the lazy one or the other. We're going to have a floor session in 20 minutes and we haven't eaten anything, and I'm getting a note here now. Jack Frost, is he out in the hall there? Which district?
No, he is gone, I'm sure. Steve House.
Oh, okay.
Food,
oh, I see. Okay. Where are you from now?
Portland. We can both be down tomorrow afternoon.
Well, no, I'm gonna continue, but I don't know when it's gonna be. I'm gonna come back here, and anybody else on the committee that I can talk into it will come back, and this public hearing will continue all night long. I wouldn't want to say all night long, but it's gonna continue until the Senate adjourns tonight, but it may be very sporadic. What have we got left here? Maybe I can, because if you folks don't want to sit around and wait for me to come back, well, maybe we will put this over. Anybody got a real, raise your hand if you got an awful problem coming back. Okay. You're here on what bill?
State bill.
2257. That's the Indigent Defense Services bill.
Your name?
Dave
Willie. Okay. I'll hear you, Mr. Willie. You're going to go down to Corvallis tonight, aren't you?
Well, Tuesday, maybe. That's okay. Where I'm from.
We're going to take up House Bill 2257. Any of the other members are excused to go eat and attend the floor session. I'm going to hear Mr. Willie. And anybody else who wants to stay around tonight and be heard, I'll listen to. Otherwise, as soon as he's through, we'll close up for the night. Now, who wants to be heard tonight? And I'm not going to guarantee you when it's going to be. Anybody? Okay. Well, a few.
Well, they can come back.
Are you on the same bill?
Okay. Well, if you don't mind kind of getting squeezed in when the time permits, why, we'll do it. I'll finish 2257 tonight. Okay? Proceed.
I'm here. My name is David Lillig. I'm the chairman of the Bar's Committee on the Defense of the Indigent Accused.
Yeah, you know, these mics can pick you up from about 4 feet, okay. So just relax.
Sorry. And all I'm here is to say that we support the bill. I took the bill to the Board of Governors. The Board of Governors support this bill, and I'm here in favor of it. That's all I have to say.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry I made you wait so long just to say
that's
that.
That's fine.
I would say that I believe that we're pretty familiar with this bill, and unless I'm mistaken, this committee is pretty well committed to get this bill out. And probably in its present form, I'm just guessing, but the comments that I've heard is that it's a needed bill, and it's in pretty good shape, so I think that's what we're going to do. All right, any questions? Thank you. Okay, next. Let's go. We'll get HB 2257 taken care of before the Senate session starts.
Brevity adds to the speed with which the bill will be dealt with.
Yes, that's right.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Bill Linden, Stakeholder Administrator. I've provided the committee with written testimony stating the Judicial Department's support of 2257. This bill is something that Chief Justice and I have worked on during the interim with the Interim Judiciary Committee and the Commission. It fundamentally restructures the policymaking roles in the energy defense system, takes the courts out of the awkward position of setting policy on funding and administration of one side of the criminal justice system, and I think is a very good piece of reform legislation. It's been through Ways and Means. There's money been set aside in the state budget to fund the operating costs, and I would recommend its passage.
Okay.
Jim Hennings, Metropolitan Public Defender. I've also provided written testimony. I very strongly favor the bill. The only thing I would suggest is that it go directly to the floor rather than back to Ways and Means. I understand it has that referral.
It does? Okay. I'll ask Senator Wires about that. Senator Wires? I understand now that this bill has a Ways and Means referral attached to it. Do you?
Yeah, I